This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh my, oh my.
You remember Duck Sauce?
Oh.
They were really big at the turn of the last decade.
Is this Duck Sauce?
Yeah.
You know, the only song of theirs that I remember is that one that they sampled from Boney M.
Which
one? I didn't know that they also did this.
Really?
Ooh. Barbara Streisand.
Yes, yeah.
That was my jam.
That was a real big thing, because there was also that you could like add in whatever words you wanted as well, and you could put your own name.
What?
So you could.
What are you talking about?
So the song.
Yeah.
And then instead of Barbara Streisand, you put your own name in, and people would play that song.
Oh, is that what people would do?
Like a ringtone, yeah.
I think I have too many syllables, so I can't really do that with mine.
Mm. That would be like. See, Sangweni.
See, too many syllables.
Oh,
doesn't
wow.
Exactly work.
Oh,
here's yeah. Another birthday surprise.
That is incredible. A big cake with my name has just walked in with Crystal.
Oh,
trickster.
All right, okay.
Happy birthday. Wait, we haven't actually sung for him yet, actually.
Oh, that's right. We haven't.
Okay, I'm going to put a picture of this cake up. I can't even describe
it. No, do it. You've got to describe this cake, Ben. Come on.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Ben Kopinski. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, Crystal, sit down there.
This can't get more awful in terms of singing.
Happy birthday, Ben.
The way
thank
we like
you.
It.
Thank you.
All right.
I really want to put this on Instagram so you can just see how incredible this is. I'm going to make a little story as I talk here.
Okay.
Crystal, I've seen many of your constructions. Construction is a horrible word. Your designs.
Creations.
Your creations.
Yeah.
And this is the best.
Your works of art.
This is it. This is actually the best I've ever seen. It is. Is that me?
Well, you tell me, Ben. You describe what's in front of you.
So there is... I'm so taken aback by this.
Ben is not laughing because it's
No, I'm not
silly.
Laughing because it's silly. It's just
amazing.
It's simply incredible. There is a Black Knight, and I'm giving the Black Knight a golf club.
Yes.
But can you tell who the Black Knight is, Ben? Look very closely.
Is it...
Correction, that is Mr. Gary Player.
As
the Black Knight.
I have a Gary Player birthday cake.
Whoa. Okay, so hang on. So you've got Mr. Gary Player dressed in the Black Knight armory. Then you've got Ben Karpinski wearing the traditional white golf outfit.
Well, it's like a caddy's outfit.
Kneeling on one knee, handing Mr. Gary Player the golf club.
Well, Ben is the squire.
The squire.
Handing... Mr. Gary Player, a golf club.
This is one of the most incredible things anyone has ever thought about, let alone given me. This is sensational.
Oh, hence sensational sugar. Just throwing it out there.
I've got to be honest, though, Ben. This is... I didn't make all of those figurines. I've collaborated with an incredibly talented lady that I am very excited to announce in the new year.
Oh.
And she's going to start teaching with me. I've just... With my classes, I've been so crazy busy, so I've had to have someone that fills in for me with my beautiful creations. And
well,
yeah, she's a great addition.
She's an absolute genius. This is incredible. I'm going to tag Gary in this. I'm going to take a picture. He's going to love this too.
Was this sort of her big first test, Crystal? Or, I mean, have you kind of had her by your side for a while now?
No, I've had her by my side for a while. She's been my best kept secret. She's sort of like my, you know, that Fatties and Monies advert of their little Italian lady that gets put in the cupboard.
Oh yes, I remember that ad. They work real quick, then you like push them back into the cupboard afterwards.
Yes, so this lady is my secret in the cupboard, and when I need her, she comes out here and makes absolutely phenomenal figurines. I mean, that's I'm not that talented.
But like the look of delight on my face in this cake, you've captured everything.
Do you know what? And let's be honest, this is actually pretty accurate because it's the shape of your head, it's the color of your hair as well. This is kind of spot on.
Okay, fair enough. I look older than 36, though.
No, okay.
Say that. But it's incredible. You've got a Masters caddy outfit, so much so that the Masters logo is on the breast pocket here. the attention to detail here is something else. This isn't just, oh, Ben likes golf and then there's Gary Player. This is like...
Well, this is why I love this lady, because I think I'm known for attention to detail, and she's spot on with that. So, very proud to be associated with her.
Well, Chris, I'm very proud to accept this. It's incredible. It's your birthday as well.
Yes!
Happy birthday! Sorry, I'll stop singing. That's it. I think for everyone's sanity, I'll stop singing.
And Ben, I missed your birthday last year. I wasn't able to bring you a cake because I was celebrating my 30th.
Okay.
So, I've made up for it this year.
Well, happy 31st birthday today.
Thank you. Well, tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes, with Ben. How old? You forgot your own birthday.
No, I know, but I'm getting cake slips. It feels like it's my birthday already. Seriously, we bypassed this day. We're now already on my birthday. Wow. I think I need to take a song. I actually need to compose myself.
Yeah, do it. Let's do it.
We update on Gareth is that he's outside ANN7. He's sending pictures of helicopters. The accidents have been so bad on route. So he is trying to get here. He really, really is trying. Wow. Sorry, I'm going to become emotional every time I look at this cake. It's that good.
Well, the nice thing is, Ben, that you can keep those figurines forever. They'll stay forever. So you could technically frame it in a box.
Which helps, seeing as I'm looking to parade this cake around everywhere this weekend.
Good.
You know, like I need like a Pope car just for the cake. Drive us around.
The cake mobile.
Amanda, you have made your way into studio. This can only mean really important things. Let me just get your mic on here. Hello.
Okay, so Ben, this is just something small to say happy birthday, and I hope it's a great one. You are a great person because you were born on a great day with many great people.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, enjoy and drink lots of tequila.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Shitloads.
Oh. Yeah. Sound advice.
Oh, there's a little gift from Amanda.
Sound advice. Okay, guys, we actually are going to take a song right now. I need to compose myself and get the studio ready. And see, it looks like we've got another surprise outside.
Yes, and just a little bit.
Are you
going to
give us a throw forward to that?
Well, you know, let's keep it as a surprise for two more seconds.
Okay, this is becoming the best pre-birthday ever.
Oh, yay. Ben, I think it's safe to say you're kind of speechless in the best of ways.
No, I really am. I'm absolutely bowled over. Like,
I was just telling Crystal, because this cake is absolutely incredible. And I say, like, every time she comes in, you're like, oh my goodness, this is the best thing ever. And somehow she's able to raise the bar over and over again. So, yay. So, thank you to Crystal from Sensational Sugar for this.
Jeepers. Yeah, okay, it's good news. I'm staring at this thing like I've just discovered like my precious, like Schmeagle with the ring.
But quickly, just while we're on the notes of incredible things, did you guys, oh no, Ben, you stuck around here yesterday. Did you see the whole display of amazing food?
Yes, that was incredible.
I know.
That wasn't Crystal as well, was it?
No. See, we just keep amazing people around us. Yeah. I think it's absolutely awesome. And remember where we had our Christmas party last week?
Of course, yeah, Skinset, down the road.
Yes, it's the Cooking Accountants, you know. And when Bertus and Colette came in, they brought us those amazing ladies, and we had massages as well. So they're part of the same company, the Cooking Accountants and Skinset Day Spa. It was incredible. They take the best care of us around when they stop by here on Mondays after the show to get our week started in the best ways, when they give us massages and just the whole layout they had for us. It was like actually a very delightful Thursday. They had breakfast, there was muesli, there was some baked goods as well, there was amazing juice. So huge, huge thank you as well. Let's keep those going to the team at SkinSense and the Cooking Accountants. And just ahead of the festive season, actually, because y'all are our favorites, they are running an amazing special with us in conjunction. So you can actually stop by the SkinSense Day Spa and you can book a massage. They're running a 2-for-1 deal. So you, along with your friend or your loved one, whatever the case is, can go there and both get massages and actually pay for one. So it's amazing. And all you have to do to get that is just mention Cliff Central to book. So if you want more details, head over to cliffcentral.com. It's right on the front page. And you can have yourself a most wonderful massage of the year.
Look, that sounds like the best thing to do on the day that you you know, are filling out your last day at the office.
Yes.
Head on over to the spa and get those ladies to just rub all that tension and stress and pressure from the entire year out of your body. And then you just start the holiday season in this relaxed state of mind. It sounds great.
Oh, couldn't be better.
Okay. All right. So should we get to a couple of news stories then? So we didn't get to this yesterday because, you know, we were all basically chewing away on the meaty bits of the burning platform. But the Henry van Breda trial wrapped up on Wednesday. Yes.
Oh.
The 63-day trial of Henry van Breda came to an end on Wednesday. Now, the triple murder accused could be spending his last Christmas at home because he will remain out on bail until the court hears closing arguments, and those are only set for February next year. Now, as the big finale of the trial, Dr. James Butler was the one who gave his final testimony, and he was the one who diagnosed the 23-year-old with juvenile myoclonic epilepsy. This is after he suffered a seizure a few weeks ago. Now, according to Dr. Butler, he said that it is likely that Henry suffered a seizure on the night of the attacks, which according to him would explain why he doesn't remember what happened for 2 hours and 40 minutes, and then it also conveniently explains why Henry didn't phone anybody over that time period. Because remember, we all said, hang on, there's an entire gap of a couple of hours where nothing happened. Why was Henry waiting for that time before calling any authorities? Well, according to Dr. Butler, he said it is possibly because the young man, you know, was incapacitated as a result of the seizure that he suffered. But the prosecution wasn't having any of this. Susan Galloway said basically that this diagnosis of the epilepsy is fortuitous at best. Until van Breda was diagnosed 2 weeks ago, those 2 hours were just this unexplainable gap. And basically the prosecution have said, oh, how convenient that you find a way to explain away this time by saying that this guy suffered an epileptic fit. Susan Galloway added, given the defense's case up until now and then the fortuitous diagnosis of a type of epilepsy just recently, the accused can now say, oh, hang on, I now suddenly have an explanation for those 2 missing hours, or rather 2 hours and 40 minutes that just couldn't be explained. Now, Judge Desai basically told Dr. Butler, look, the seizure in and of itself is an assumption at best. And the doctor did add that, yes, this is the only case that he knows of in which amnesia was claimed to have afflicted the accused subsequent to the commission of a crime and not at the time of the crime. So you have to hand it to, you know, Henry's team. They did their best, but the prosecution said, no, we're not buying any of this. The judge said, well, you saying he suffered a seizure is an assumption at best, but now the whole thing is wrapped up, and then they will prepare for closing arguments in February.
See, I don't get the whole closing arguments.
Well, it's part of the legal process, Ben.
Yeah, sure, but February. Okay, so we can now, what else is going to change?
Has 2 months before this to just...
Yeah, what? And he's still out on bail, so he's
but
not going
to
be...
But like out on bail, so now he gets to have a summer holiday. The guy's probably going to be at Matric Rage this weekend. He's there right now.
Okay.
I wonder how much the bail was, but question...
Well,
how,
he's rich, doesn't make a difference.
How do we know that... I remember it was revealed a while ago that Henry stood around smoking.
What?
He stood around in the early hours of the morning in the kitchen and he was smoking before paramedics arrived. And I don't know whether this was before or after he called for help. So they're now siding with the whole thing that like he had a seizure. Oh, he couldn't do anything. But oh, while you're having a seizure, you can also just chill and smoke.
Okay, I don't remember that little detail. But Dr. Butler had also said that Henry had apparently wet himself because there was... No. They found that his pants were wet, and I'm assuming that they ran some other tests to conclude that it was urine. And the doctor's saying, well, yes, because this guy had an epileptic fit and lost control of his, you know, faculties or whatever. Look, there's a lot that was said in court, but, you know, those closing arguments need to come soon because, yeah, I think a lot of people just want to see this case wrapped up in one way or another. Now, Ben, you were the one who was telling us the other day about how Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Is what he's got a calendar out now, right?
Yeah, action Vlad.
He's got a 2018 calendar, and you can see him in all sorts of shots where he's, I don't know, on a motorbike, and then he's topless because you know you've got to have a topless Vlad. And, you know, if that's a kind of thing, then you can order that calendar online. But I don't know if that calendar has started some other kind of trend, which I really shudder at. Because now, the Canadian Prime Minister, right?
What is the...
Justin Trudeau.
Justin from Canada.
There is a Justin Trudeau 2018 calendar that is also now available through Amazon at a much cheaper price than that of Vladimir Putin,
well,
if I may add.
I mean, much lesser stature.
Okay, now Trudeau's office were very quick to say, listen, we actually have absolutely nothing to do with this. This was put forward, as you know, by somebody else who's entirely in charge of this calendar by themselves, but the Prime Minister's office confirmed we don't know anything about this, but okay, we'll just take it as a laugh. It's called My Canadian Boyfriend Calendar.
Yeah, because he is the bitch boy next door.
What? Which isn't creepy at all, but okay, there you go. So yes, you can enjoy the Prime Minister in all sorts of ways. He's also topless in one of the pictures, because let's face it, guys, if you're going to end up in a calendar somewhere, you've got to be topless at some point, because that is what the ladies want.
That's when you've really made it in life, isn't it?
Get yourself the Vladimir Putin calendar and the Justin Trudeau My Canadian Boyfriend calendar while stocks last.
Well, Ben, your 7:30 surprise is actually from Canada, so
okay.
Let's just find out if he's ready to get the Justin Trudeau calendar stocked up.
Well, before we get to that, I'm opening my first present here. This is from Amanda.
Yep.
Amanda has given me...
Oh, classy.
A little bottle of whiskey, and this must be the amazing Hubbly tobacco you're telling me about.
Yep, that's a new one that's just come out. It is really amazing.
Amanda, thank you so much. That is both thoughtful and useful. I'm so excited to smoke this.
I hope you're not going to give it away to Dari or something.
Ooh. No, this is a really nice gift. I shall use both of these things. Okay. Not at the same time, but probably at the same time.
Ooh, the shade of it all. So yeah.
Thanks, Amanda.
That wasn't a nice gift earlier this year.
That is most lovely. No, this is the first gift. The JC something or other was a prize.
Okay. All right.
Big difference. I appreciate that. I'll use that. Thanks, Amanda. So, Sia, are we going to go straight into the second... sorry, I'm all over the place since this cake arrived. I apologize.
You're just ready for it. Is that what you...
I don't know what I'm ready for, what I'm not ready for.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. South Africans can look forward to The Illusionist's Direct from Broadway show. It's a show of magic tricks, death-defying stunts, and acts of breathtaking wonder. We have got Canadian Darcy Oak joining us in studio today.
Darcy Oak.
Listen.
Darcy Oak.
Listen, I am particularly excited at all the possible trickery that we're going to see unfolding before us. I love this kind of thing because, number one, you know, initially you can't explain how it all works. And then you try and try and try, and then you just have to accept the brilliance for what it is. So, I don't know. Can we make you, like, disappear, Ben? I'm hoping that we can.
Why is that always your first wish?
You know, listen.
Whenever we have something like this, it's always your first wish. How can Ben disappear?
I don't know. Okay. I'm just putting it out into the universe.
Darcy, it's not because she doesn't like me. It's just that she gets bored of me.
Okay.
There's a bit of a difference. Wow, okay. Well,
that's not what she told me.
Snap.
You can't be so transparent with people like this.
Darcy, welcome to Clip Central.
Thanks for having me.
Yay.
Yeah, sorry, Darcy. There's meant to be another guy here, but he's not here today. So we're one short. But
no
as
worries.
The rest of the team, we're happy to see you.
Perfect. I'm happy to see you guys as well.
And I'm also surprised to see you. I'm not just saying it because it's a surprise.
All right. Darcy, let's hit the rewind button a little bit and let's take it back to when you were just 7 years old, which is when you were starting with your tricks.
Yeah. It's a funny story, actually. Like, I was 6 or 7. My mom used to play bridge with her friends, so there was just a deck of cards sitting on the kitchen table.
Right.
And my dad's like, here, Darcy, pick one out. And he knows no magic, has zero magic experience, doesn't know a single trick.
Right.
And he asked me to pick a card, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, here, take one. So I pulled one out, looked at it, I put it back in the pack, he shuffled them up, and he spread them out on the table, and he goes, without looking, I'm going to reach in, I'm going to pull out one card, and it'll be yours. And I was skeptical, but sure enough, he reached in, pulled one out, flipped it over, and it was mine.
Wow.
And I had no idea how to explain what happened, and he wouldn't tell me for like a month. And then I found out like a month later that it was just a 1 in 52 chance. It was a complete accident. Yeah. He knows no magic, just went for it. It happened to work out, and then it started me on this path. It's crazy to look back on that and think, like, what if that trick didn't work out, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's like meant to be.
So that's incredible.
Your dad got lucky that day.
It really kind of was meant to be, because since then your life has never been normal,
exactly,
so to speak. Like, so, like your other friends, this people the same age.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's been a never-ending journey since that moment, really, of just like, you know, I got fooled so badly, and it was that feeling of like, how did this happen? That immediately I wanted to be able to give that feeling to other people.
Okay, so where did it go from there? Did you start taking deck of cards to school? Did you get like a little magic trick?
Yeah,
what
it was
were
like
your first steps there.
I'd get like a magic set for Christmas and stuff, and then you know, when I was like 10 or 11, I started doing like kids' birthday parties.
Yeah,
and then I'd start doing like company parties, and then I started, you know, just doing slightly bigger and bigger shows as time went on, and then you know, then it all sort of happened.
So what became the most daring thing that you did that you realized, like, I'm actually going to make a whole life of this? Because, I mean, like, those tricks, day-to-day stuff must have been cool.
Yeah.
But you probably still thought I had to do something like a job or whatever.
I mean, that was my approach, was I have zero plan B, no fallback plan. Was like, I'm going for it.
So you had to make it work.
Yeah. So what actually ended up happening was I went to university for 1 year after high school, and like I was failing everything because I was just focused on like on magic and learning and trying to book shows. And I found out a little trick that if you had any outstanding parking tickets, the university wouldn't send your transcripts to your parents. So I racked up all these parking tickets so my parents wouldn't get the transcripts. And then I told them after, I was like, this isn't for me. I'm making a run at this. And they supported me. And it was great. It was never for them. They were never like, you should get a real job. It was always like, when's your next show? What are you doing to get the next
That's
booking?
So cool.
Yeah, that they were cool. So supportive. It was. They're still kind of ticked about all those parking tickets. So
I can't pinpoint the exact time at which you then started seeing a series of shows where magicians' tricks and illusionist tricks started being explained to viewers and audiences.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the kind of thing that you guys as the performers kind of resent a little bit? Because, you know, part of the magic lies in, you know, the fact that your audience can't figure that thing out.
Well, that's the whole key to the entire art form, right? So when you have a guy who's putting on a mask and starts a TV show that's just exposing all these methods, you know, he was shunned in the community. Like, people were furious about that. But I kind of looked at it in a way like he was revealing stuff that had been done forever. You know what I mean? And it's I don't like accept what he did at all. I think it was brutal, but like, you know, he was revealing stuff that, like, you know, guys were still doing like 30 years later. And, you know, and with YouTube and everything, the art forms progressed so much that, like, you got to push the envelope now. And you know, it was definitely not good for magic, but I don't think it was like as, it wasn't horrendous. It didn't ruin the art form. You know what I mean? It's still, there's the guys still pushing the envelopes, you know, working on new methods, never before seen stuff. And especially with all the access we have to like information on the internet and YouTube, you can develop some pretty crazy things that people can't explain and can't find the answers to.
Something I always think, like, do you believe you're part of a sort of special club? You're like almost like the X-Men of us normal people. Because,
yes.
because what you do is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well,
do you ever feel that?
It's funny because, like, you know, we were working on a show a while ago, and I had a magician consultant friend of mine with me, and we were chatting about the show, and there was somebody standing beside us that was like, I have no idea what you guys are saying. It's like you're speaking another language here, like talking about methods and moves and sleights and different things like that. They were just like, what are you talking about? But yeah, I mean, it's a close-knit community, and there's not a whole lot of people that are out there doing it, and everybody's, you know, pretty familiar with other people's work. And yeah, it's definitely a little group for sure.
And then within your group, do you guys ever get so impressed by your other peers that you think that, like, you start trying to figure out their tricks as well? You think, oh my goodness, how did he actually do that? I need to figure out how he did that.
Every once in a while that happens. It's super rare. Like, when you become a magician and like dedicate your life to it, you sort of forfeit your ability to be fooled. So like, because you're constantly learning it, and you can see it in other people and what they're working on. It's inspiring to me too. Like, when I see, even when I know how it works, but I see a guy pull it off flawlessly, it's like, nicely done. But every so often there'll be a guy that's worked on something that performs a piece that you're just like, wait, what? And that's rare, but it's special. I love it when that happens because it doesn't happen very often.
Now, Darcy, you've done amazing, amazing things. You've performed all over the world. You got millions of views when you were on Britain's Got Talent. You're now on the Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. It's amazing.
Boom.
Things. Yeah. But look, I have to say, I am such a British royal, like, addict.
Yeah.
And when I heard that you got to perform for the Queen at a private dinner.
Yeah. So Darcy, you've made his year by just sitting here.
Like, I think you're now the coolest
thing. I'll show you the picture after. It was one of those things, like, I wasn't allowed to post it or show it, so it's literally like, I have it. I just show it to everyone. I can't
so
put it out
cooler.
There, but it's...
Where was it?
In Windsor
Palace?
Castle.
Oh,
yeah,
my
yeah.
goodness.
So, like, the castle they actually live in. And, like, it was so surreal. It was, like, it was probably, like, the size of this.
Uh-huh.
And they were literally from, like, me to you, and it was the entire royal family. It was, like, 80 people in the room. And then they invite all the staff from the castle in, which I thought was really cool, you know?
Yeah.
So they're all kind of standing at the back, and we did this show.
The
peasants
standing at the back. Yeah.
But, no, I could literally, like, I could see the Queen, like, 10 feet away from me while I'm performing. I was like, this is crazy.
Was she impressed?
Yeah.
There
yeah,
we
I think
go.
So. I hope so. But Prince Harry was the coolest. He's the coolest guy ever. He comes up to me. Like, there's a whole protocol after, right? So you stand in this, like, line, and I'm going to get it wrong here, but I think everyone is – the rest of the family is – Your Royal Highness, and then the Queen is Your Majesty or something.
Uh-huh.
You have to greet them in a certain way. And I was like, oh, they told me like 2 minutes before, like this whole protocol. I'm like, I'm going to mess this up.
Oh, no.
And then Prince Harry comes through. He was the last one. Just I shouldn't say disregard to the protocol, but he just came up and he was like, dude, I watch all your stuff on YouTube. That was crazy. And I was like, oh, my God. And we chatted for like 5-6 minutes. And then at the end, he's like, you know what, Darcy, just don't trash the place tonight, all right? I was like, oh, man, you're like the coolest guy.
So have you been booked for a May return then?
Not yet. No, I'm still waiting on that call.
But like, were they all pretty nice, or was Philip like, what is this nonsense?
No, they were so nice.
Was he like nodding off and going,
because he's a hobbyist magician.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was a member of like the Magic Circle and whatever in London.
Kind of not surprised by that, actually.
Yeah.
He's almost like the Phil Dunphy of the royal family. When you think
about it. Wait a minute. Is it like an honorary member, or did he actually like make his way in like legitimately?
I asked him, and he said it was a combination of both.
He was turning tricks to get into this family from the start.
Yeah.
No, but it was amazing. Like, I'm just that whole situation was so surreal, and it was like I kind of became like a royal family sort of addict after that, because it was like, these are the real people, and they were so nice and gracious, and now I just have this other image in my head of them. Was like, oh man, that was a bucket list item, and they made it so special. It's not like you went there and were like disappointed by meeting them. It was like, more, you know how sometimes you meet people that you know you see on TV or you look up to, and you're just kind of disappointed by the interaction. This was the exact opposite. I left there and was like outside, like, oh my God. Yeah, it was pretty wild.
I think even just getting the call from Windsor Car, I would
see, die. You actually turn green with envy.
It comes in like a formal envelope in the mail with
of
like the stamp,
mail
like, so I have it like framed. And then the craziest thing was, after I got a letter in the mail from Prince Charles, who it was like a thank you letter.
Shut
and it's signed
up.
By him, and it was like, had specifics about the show. He was like, because I did the act that I did on Britain's Got Talent with the birds.
Uh-huh.
And there was like another room beside the dining room where we were performing, where I was like, the birds were, and he pointed all of that out in the letter. He was like, oh, you know, your birds were in the, I can't remember the name of the room, but, and it was just, I was like, man, this is, wow, this is crazy,
yeah,
you know?
But you do realize, because Camilla won't allow him to watch TV. So,
I mean, so he's making notes.
Lewis mind.
Yeah.
So when you went into Britain's Got Talent, what was your sort of, did you have like a game plan, or did you just think like, look, I trust my tricks. I know exactly what I'm doing. All my illusions are pretty, they're all showstoppers. Or did you really kind of have to agonize on what you were going to do for that particular platform?
That's funny, actually. Essentially, like, I've seen guys go on those shows and think up a crazy idea, and like, oh, I'm gonna do this on this, something they've never done before.
Right.
And it's like, you can't just go and do something brand new on there. That was my approach anyway. So I was under the impression where I was like, I'm not going on there and trying something new. I'm gonna do what I know, and just go for it. And I think that approach really, really worked out, because the guys you see that go on there that like sort of create something for that show, you can't have honed it. You know, you have to work a bit in front of the audience, like, a million times over before you know every single nuance in that routine and the ins and outs and all of that. And so that was my plan. I was like, and the three that I did on the show were, that was the beginning, the middle, and the end of the current show that I was performing. So I was like, oh, I'll just structure it like my live show. I'll do the opening, I'll do the middle, and I'll do the closer. And that was that.
And in order to get onto stage, what kind of a screening process did you have to, like, do it to, like, five people who then said, okay, well, let's have a look at it in front of 10 people?
So the way it actually worked out... Yeah, and I sort of didn't really discuss this during the time of Britain's Got Talent, but they reach out to people, and they ask people to come and do it.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they get however many acts every year, right? So they have to, like, they have to ask people to come in, otherwise, you know, they'd run out of performers. But so they asked me to do it, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. And they asked me, like, probably for a couple months, and then... Finally, a guy called me, and because you know, you go and do one of those shows, and like the first one is pre-recorded, and then the last two are live. So the first pre-recorded one, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go do this, but like, how do I know if once I leave the building, they're just gonna take this footage and put like clown music underneath it and make me look like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know like what they're gonna do with it. It's totally out of my control after the performance. But so the guy I was talking to was kind of like, listen, like magic's never really been kind of cool on any of these shows, and like there was a guy on the year before who he didn't make it that far, but it was well received, and I think the producers of the show were like, oh, like magic can be kind of cool, and we can make this something unique. So we chatted, and after a while, you know, I hummed and hawed for a bit, and I was like, oh, I may as well, you know. My main concern going into that was I was going to go on and like make a bird appear and just hear that X and just be like, oh. But literally what happened was I went out there and like it was almost like I just tuned out because I had rehearsed that act like, and I'd been doing it for years, so I could do it, you know, with my eyes closed. So that was, you know, how much I had rehearsed it, and it was almost literally like an out-of-body experience. Like I gave that little interview at the beginning, and then the next thing I kind of remember was just like the music ending and everybody standing up, and I was like, oh man, I guess that went good. Like, so yeah, it was wild. And then I was almost more at ease, though, doing the last two live performances when they were live on TV. It was more comfortable for me because it was like, all right, if I kill it this time, then the people will, you know what I mean? There's nothing that can be misinterpreted when it's live. Yeah. Right?
But what state of mind are you in while you're executing a trick on a live stage in front of a live audience with millions of people watching across the world? Because, I mean, part of your act is that you've got to look confident. You've got to convince. You've got to convince the audience that, hey, this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, what is your what's your heart rate doing? Like, are you sweating? Is your mind going, please let this work? Please let this work.
No, I mean, I never really do any. I'll never really go and do something like and be worried about if it's going to work or not. Like, you got to know it's going to work, and if it doesn't work, it's because something random happened. You know what I mean? So. But magic's like the only art form where you practice over and over and over to hide your skill instead of display it. Like a singer will practice so that when they step out on stage.
Same with dancers. They really will show everything.
Yeah. But a magician is like, you know, you practice so it's hidden. So you don't see that secret move or you don't see that thing. So in reality, you've practiced like millions of hours to just look like it's completely normal.
Have you ever had any awkward moments where something doesn't work, or like a bird is meant to be revealed and it's dead? Like,
no, definitely not fly that. Out. No, definitely not that. But I always like to say magic never really fails; it only gets longer because the audience has no idea what's supposed to happen, right?
Yeah.
So you can use that in your favor, and if something is going to go wrong, the magician will usually know way before the audience. So it's like you can, if it's like something's going to happen. It never like happens like on the moment where the big reveal is supposed to happen. It's like, oh, this is something's, you know, and then you can fix it and work around it. But it's like sort of like a half awareness, I guess, because you have to be like, you know, present to connect with the crowd, but you also have to be aware of like the secret stuff you got to do. And it's sort of like a half present mindset where you're sort of in two places at once in your head, thinking about what you have to do and thinking about what the audience is seeing.
Mm.
Another thing that I'm always curious about, someone in your position, is what is dating life like, relationship life through the years? Because you, again, going back to what I think about being a part of like the X-Men.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that you're different to us. I'm not saying that in a special parking sense, but your mind is just special very parking. Different. How has that worked out for you over the years?
Because
obviously if you meet a girl and she's like, what do you do? You know exactly going to say, oh, I work in HR. You know, like, like you're an illusionist. You're quite something.
Well, usually too, if you're like, oh, what do you do? And if you say magician, 90% of the time people will go, what instrument do you play? It's like, musician, magician, you know? Yeah. But people ask me that all the time. Like, how does it work with the ladies?
I think first dates must be a hoot for you.
Well, see, the thing is, it's like you can't use it like, you can't just be like, hey, I'm going to show you a magic trick. You know what I mean? If like in that situation, the way you have to approach it is like, it has to just appear to kind of happen. You know what I mean?
But most guys would, because they'll get nervous and they feel like they would have to do that.
You got to hold out. That's the thing. The longer you hold out, and then when you hit them with something impossible, that's the way to do it. You can't come out guns blazing like, here, pick a card. You know?
Now, how many times out of 10 do you get asked, ooh, show me a trick, as soon as you say to yourself, well, I'm an illusionist?
10 times out of 10 times.
Does that become annoying?
See, that's
a little.
That's how Mabelli wanted to start the interview.
Yeah. No, but I'm going to show you guys something. The way I sort of see it is like, you know, if you meet someone and they're like, I'm a singer, you're not like, sing me a song.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
No, we also do that here.
No, I mean, like out in public or whatever, you know, when you're just interacting with someone. But it's like, it's weird that, well, I guess because like people don't see magic very often. So when you tell them you're a magician or illusionist, they're like, oh, can you show me something? Mm. Like, it's not like them trying to be annoying or anything. It's people just really want to see something impossible.
And then do you also get those people who are like, no, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure out how you do it. And then they want to like step up to you and say, no, I know how he did it. I know how he did it.
There's two types of people in every audience. And there's the people who believe and they don't want to know and they just want to enjoy the experience of being fooled. And then there's the people who want to figure everything out.
Yeah.
And the people who want to figure everything out, it's funny because like, you know, 90% of the time they'll come up after and be like, oh, I know how you did it. And they'll rifle off some method that's way wrong. And that's like the biggest compliment to me, you know, when you get one of those skeptical people that's sitting there trying to pick apart everything and like, I know how you did it. And they say something that's just like, it's so wrong that you're like, it's like double bluffed them, you know, got them twice.
For a lot of people, they actually can't, because people who have control issues, they must hate seeing what you do. And then it really boggles the mind to things like your dark arts or this or that. You don't actually have any superpowers, do you? You just apply your mind in a certain way.
Oh,
see, I'm becoming to sound like that person.
I know.
But like, you obviously watch other people, as you say. You know, it's like anything. You want to improve your craft by learning from others. Are there particular people out there who you can't wait to see do new material or do things?
There's definitely a few guys I love to see like what they've come up with. But for me, it's like super important not to like be inspired or not inspired, but not to like copy other magicians.
Sure.
Like, you know, with YouTube and stuff, magicians will tend to be like, oh, I saw that guy get a great reaction with this, so I'm going to do that. And little do they know that guy has spent like years and years of his life like perfecting that thing for some guy to just see it and be like, oh, that was good, I'm going to do it. It's like, oh. And that's like a big problem in the magic community, especially with YouTube. So like some guys try to like hold off on like posting their stuff online because like once somebody, like you can't copyright the methods, you know? So it's like a real gray area within the magic community of the ethics of like, you know, people taking stuff from other magicians, and it can become really, really annoying. It's the worst when you've spent your whole life working on something and then you just see another guy doing it. It's just like, oh, man.
So we don't mean to sound like those people, but show me a trick.
So speaking of which, all right.
Okay, so Dusty, do you mind if I film?
Yeah.
Can I go ahead? Because we got this 360 camera, so whenever someone special comes in,
film them in 360.
So if you ever come for an interview on Cliff Central right here and you see the camera,
you've made it.
You're a big deal.
All right. So my wallet's been sitting here the whole time.
Uh-huh. Has it though, Darcy?
It has. You can check the 360 footage.
Why is my heart starting to pound already?
I don't have any press record.
Calm down.
So before I came in here, I took out one card from a deck of cards.
Stuff.
I folded it up into a quarters, and I put it in my wallet. You can tell, obviously, there's not 52 cards in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you you play cards? You're familiar with the deck of cards?
Yeah.
Good. I want you to think of one.
Okay.
Not a joker though. Think of like one you would play with. Is it the Queen of Hearts?
Stop it! Yeah. Stop it! Wait, what's even? No, I don't like that. Okay.
Which is kind of funny. I would have gone with that because I know you, but you guys just met.
Yeah, I was even singing a song of the Queen of Hearts that I know. Okay.
All right. Okay. New one. New card. Mm-hmm. Not the Queen of Hearts. Mm-hmm. Not the Ace of Spades this time either.
No.
Okay, good. What card are you thinking of?
Am I meant to say now?
Yeah.
Okay, Seven Hearts.
Seven of Hearts.
Yeah.
So my wallet's been sitting here the whole time, right?
It really has been.
It has. Haven't touched it.
Yeah, okay. Look. All right, now you're touching it. Now you're opening it up.
What card did you say?
Oh, no.
Let's check it out. I had the Six of Hearts.
Oh.
Look on the back.
Off by one. No!
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Okay, then. All right. All right.
Just for verification purposes, a man is also sold on this.
Yeah.
All right, here. I got another one for you.
Oh, my gosh. So you can put your phone number in people's pockets like that.
Okay, you know what? I think you and the birthday boy this time.
Yes,
right?
Like someone else needs to take it. My freak is freak.
All right, we've got a couple of normal deck here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll just use the top card here, the Two of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold your hand up.
Ben, do you want to do this one? Take over this one.
No, go ahead. Okay. I always like watching you freak out.
My hand is like even shaking at this point. Okay.
Two of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Put your other hand on top. Check it out. This is going to be quick.
Okay.
I've got the Ten of Spades.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the Two of Diamonds. I've got the Ten of Spades. Watch how quick this sleight of hand can happen. Look. Look.
No! Oh.
Take a look.
No.
I don't want to look anymore. Oh, no.
She's trembling.
No. Okay. So, no.
Wait, how did that happen?
Sleight of hand.
Oh, that is crazy.
That wasn't even sleight of hand. You literally tapped his hand with a card.
And the card switched.
Hand is quicker than the eye. It's quicker than the eye.
What are you doing with my hands?
Pull one out. Take one.
Can you do that with money bills as well?
I got your wallet. You have your wallets and your phones.
Okay. Pick another card.
Yeah, anyone. Okay. Actually, you know what? Here, if you want, you can shuffle them up. You can pick your favorite card.
Sia. Okay. Sia, you don't know how to shuffle. Okay.
I can't even shuffle right now.
Just do it.
Okay.
Let's
try this. Okay.
That's all right.
Shuffling it again.
All in the wrist, yes. All in the wrist.
Mabelimolo, you can choose a card.
Oh, can I?
Yeah. Take one out.
All right.
Well, I don't want you to think this is rigged or anything. So
yes.
Totally fair. You shuffled. You pulled one out.
Do I look at it?
Yeah, look at it. Don't forget it. Otherwise, the end of the trick's brutal. Show it around. Show it to the camera so everyone at home can see too.
Okay.
I won't look. I'll look away.
Okay. I know what that is.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And then here, let's get everyone involved. Actually, you know what? Here, we'll do that in a sec. Just say stop whenever you want.
Stop.
I'll go slow. Sorry.
Stop.
Just pop it back right there.
Okay.
Okay, my buddy's putting her card back.
You remember
back.
It, right?
Yes, I do.
I know what it is.
Yeah, we've got Perfect. Witnesses.
This is a lot.
This is how quick it happens. Look, the sleight of hand. Give it a little shake. One card jumps to the top, the Ten of Clubs.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Was that not it?
No.
Was that your card?
No.
Wasn't it?
That wasn't my card.
What card was it?
So should I say?
Yeah, say it.
It was the Six of Spades.
Six of Spades? Look.
Yeah.
Give it a shake. Turns Shut into the Six of Spades.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right, but I don't want you to think, though, that like there's a whole deck of Six of Spades or we have more than one.
This is
so just so you know that there's only one Six of Spades here, I'll give you the I'll give it to 20 of you guys if you could just scribble something on it.
Okay.
All right,
someone
Ben,
should it. Sign it.
Make yeah. it. Don't make it rude.
Draw something dirty on there.
Does that mean to be another heart?
Or? It's a heart with horns.
Okay. It's a horny heart.
Do you want this back, Darcy?
Yeah. So now, obviously, there's only one card like this in the world, right? You haven't signed another Six of Spades
I've
like this.
I've never seen a heart with horns. That's why I drew it.
There you go. It's an interesting choice. We place it like halfway in the pack. I give it a little shake. Jumps right back to the top.
Oh,
like that.
No,
but watch.
Stuff it going.
Watch. We'll take your Six of Spades.
Sia
the heart
is moments away from fainting.
With
here.
Horns, right? Heart with horns, Six of Spades. We'll put it right there away from me so I can't touch it. We'll put the deck in your hand.
Your hands are moving too fast now.
Check it out. They're really
okay,
nice.
Okay.
We'll go nice and slow. Hold your hands out.
Alrighty.
Put the deck in your hand. Take your other hand.
Oh,
cover up the deck.
Okay.
Death grip. Okay. Don't let me get anywhere near the deck.
I really have not like squeezed
Perfect.
For my life.
Getting Swing your hands this side.
So you shuffled the pack, right?
Yes.
You picked one.
Yes.
You signed it.
I did, and I'm watching
and
like a hawk.
It's been sitting there.
Yes,
right?
It
Six
has.
Of spades with the heart with horns. Look.
Oh wait.
Check it out. If I just give it a little rub, hold on, nice and tight. Hold on, nice and tight. Don't let me get anywhere near the deck. But I give it a little rub. Keep holding on to that. Look, because the ink, you can actually pull it right off. Hold on, nice and tight though, nice and tight. Look, check it out. Because watch this. Look.
Oh my gosh.
Look. Hands are empty. Right?
Okay.
If I reach
I think
in,
I need a diaper change. Wait a minute.
Just loosen up a tiny bit. Tiny bit. I'm going to pull out one card. I'm gonna pull out one card.
Okay.
One card.
All right.
Okay. Nice and tight. Nice and tight. Okay, you got it?
Yeah.
Right. Do not let go of that deck because look, one card. Oh, one card only.
Oh!
But check this out. Watch this. You've been holding the deck the whole time. For the finale.
He pulled out the Holy Hearts card.
For the finale, I'm going to make the deck disappear right between your hands. You ready?
No, that's not watch. Going to happen.
Look at this.
Okay,
look.
Calm down. Calm down, Sia.
You ready?
Yeah.
It's gone. Do you believe me?
Oh, I can still feel it between my hands.
You don't believe me?
Oh, Lord.
Take a look.
No, I Sia, don't want to.
Sia, do it. Sia, do it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm holding it.
Oh, my gosh. There is nothing but a Perspex cube in his hand now. He had a deck of cards. We're all staring at it. There's now nothing but a Perspex cube.
No way.
That
no
is,
how.
That is unreal.
No. No.
No. Yeah, can I hold that? Can I hold that, please?
It's a proper Perspex cube.
Oh, my gosh. This was a deck of cards.
Oh, wait. My eyes are watering.
So that's it. They're gone.
They're gone. I got to get a new deck now.
I don't see.
Oh,
can't.
Damn.
I can't.
Wait, when
this.
Did that change?
It happened in your hands.
Not Darcy, I'm
done. Are you actually a magician's assistant?
I can't. I wish I would have worn a sequenced outfit to be a proper magician's assistant here.
Darcy, it must never get old. Everywhere in the world, no matter the language, the background, people have the same reactions we just had now.
Exactly. It's universal language.
We can't control it. Like, our eyes are just...
Well, and that's what's so amazing about the art form is that it literally puts every walk of life on the same platform. It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire doctor or you're living wherever. People react the exact same way. When somebody sees something impossible that they can't explain, everybody is the same. And that there's something about it that, you know, that's really special. You don't get that in a lot of stuff, in a lot of arts, you know?
I don't know. I do not know. I now think he can read my thoughts.
No,
I'm just freaked out. No,
wow. Darcy, that is amazing. And Gareth Cliff is here.
Hey!
You missed all the pandemonium.
Shit, sorry.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah, Gareth.
That was insane. Absolutely insane.
There we go.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, there was an orange truck on the N1 that turned over. There were helicopters. It was a disaster. 2.5 hours in traffic. It's great. This is how some people have to spend their days.
It's horrible, Gareth. But I'm so
I mean, I might as well not come this morning. Happy birthday, Ben.
Oh, happy birthday,
Gareth,
Ben.
Gareth, have you stayed at my cake yet?
Stayed at my cake.
It's beautiful.
Okay, so this to me is also an illusion. I think it's just an ordinary cake, but it's been made so much better.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing.
That's pretty impressive cake.
Look, I'm totally out of words. I'm totally out of words. So, yeah, we've got Cindy Nell next.
Yes. Well, the only magic trick that I know with the cake is that we'll just, like, scoff it down our throats and it will disappear.
In record time.
Yeah. Mr. Darcy, thank you so much for
coming
through this morning. This is crazy.
Listen, and if you want to see The Illusionist direct from Broadway, and I highly recommend that you do, we can catch you at the Teatro at Monte Cassino. Is that correct?
Yeah. For about a month straight, we're opening on Valentine's Day. So it's going to be great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very, very cool. I just to look at Sia's face when I walked in. Completely blown away by what's happening here. All right, happy weekend. Happy December. Happy birthday to Ben. And this is Cindy Nell. Spoke to her, had a long conversation with her. I think she was hitting on me.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's allowed.
It's only a matter of time until one guest was hitting on you, I guess.
Thank God. The first time in ages.
All right, Darcy, thanks so much. Thanks so much for having a fantastic week with us here in Cliff Central. If you missed any of the podcasts, get onto the website, cliffcentral.com, or just the app. It's been a really great week. Content, it is now December, and I'm going to just stare at my cake some more. So thanks for joining us today. Cindy Nell is up next.
This is cliffcentral.com.